We want to turn tonight to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah and the chapter 32. Isaiah and the chapter 32. And we'll read this short chapter really together. So Isaiah and the chapter 32. I'm going to commence to read together at the verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to the bountiful. For the vile person will speak vanly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye woman, that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the village shall fail. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens, forever a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Now, as I already have said in verse 2, you'll find the words here about a man, a hiding place. Now, we find these words that were spoken during the great ministry of the prophet Isaiah, a mighty, mighty man of God. We read in chapter 1, verse 1, for instance, that his ministry, he saw a vision that reached about four kings. So it is estimated that his ministry was around about 64 years. And not only had he a long ministry, he was an evangelical preacher. Way before his time, listen, he preached Christ. His messages was full of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was known as the evangelical preacher. His preaching was of Christ. He talked about his birth. Do you remember? Isaiah 9, verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So he preached about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 10, he talked about how a virgin shall bring forth a son. The son is the Lord Jesus Christ, as you and I know here tonight. And the virgin he spoke about was Mary. So he preached about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we come to his writings and listen to his words, we find he preached on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the words, tremendous words. In Isaiah chapter 53, how he says about Christ, God saw him 700 years before Christ came into the world. He brings people to Calvary. He brings them to the cross. He tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's despised. He's rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted of grief. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So here's a man many, many years before Christ came into the world, he preached that Christ would go to the cross. You cannot, I say it tonight, you cannot take the cross out of the Bible. You cannot take the blood of Christ out of the Word of God. Here's a man who preached it many, many years before Christ came into the world. And he preached about the death of Christ. There were prophecies about Christ. There are also pictures of Christ in his preaching. And that's what we find here in this passage we've read together. A king. I'm glad tonight there's one king. Who's that one king? King Jesus. He speaks in about righteousness. Well, I'm glad tonight that I'm not saved by my righteousness. And not one person, listen to me here tonight, you'll not be saved by your righteousness. But I'm glad there is one who is righteous and who gives us his righteousness. And who is that one? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can follow this through his words. It talks about a hiding place. He talked about a hiding place. Hiding place, what does a hiding place mean? Well, if you looked up the word hiding place in the Bible, here's what it means. A refuge. A refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen tonight. He's a refuge for guilty sinners. He's a hiding place. The prophet Isaiah, he's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's preaching about a hiding place, a refuge. And maybe there's some here tonight, and you're all converted in this meeting. You need a hiding place. You need a refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to speak tonight about a hiding place that's mentioned here. I want to say four things very simply tonight and quickly. The necessity of a hiding place. Mankind, doesn't matter where they're from tonight, doesn't matter where they are in the world. We could get a map, an atlas of the world tonight, and we could put a pin into this country and a pin into that country. And no matter where we prick the map tonight, I want to tell you this tonight. It doesn't matter where we put that pin into the map of the world. Everyone needs a place of refuge. Everyone needs it. We could put one into Africa tonight. We could go to Italy tonight. We could go to Australia tonight. We could go to New Zealand tonight. We could go to Uganda tonight. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we put this pin. We can put it into Carrie Duff tonight. What do the people tonight need? They need a refuge, a hiding place. You know, sometimes questions ask, what is man's greatest need? What is man's greatest need? Man, go out, put that in a bit of paper and go round the doors of Carrie Duff and ask them, what's man's greatest need? And man, people come up with different answers. Some may say, well, it's education. You need to learn. And there's nothing wrong with education. If you're interested in learning things at school, that's fair play to you. Education, we need education. We need money. We need prosperity. We need material goods. That's correct. We do need certain things. Like, what is man's greatest need? But what is it? Salvation. That's what they need. They need a refuge. They need a place of salvation, a place of Savior. And so their greatest need is the need of a Savior. And the need of a hiding place. And this is the reason why there's this, because of their sin. That's the reason. Their sin in relation to their conduct. Because no matter who they are, no matter about their background, no matter where they're from tonight, the Bible is very, very clear in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, for there's no difference. There's no difference. Why is there no difference? Verse 23 tells, you know what tells us? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference tonight in any one of us in this meeting. To the people outside of this meeting, we can go up and down the breadth of our land tonight, and there's no difference. Oh, we have different characters, different backgrounds, different natures, different personalities. We have all of these things, no doubt about this tonight, but there's no difference in this. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man needs a hiding place here from the conduct and the thing of sin in his life, and a place where he can hide from the presence and from the power of sin. He needs a hiding place to get away from it. And that's why you find in the Roman Catholic Church years ago, and even to this day, I just came across a figure, and I'm not sure I came across it, but to say across the world today, there are 3,600 abbeys and monasteries worldwide. Now, a monastery, what are they? Well, people go into that monastery, and you can read the life of Luther and others who went into that place, and they went into that monastery. And I want you to see here, they went into the monastery to hide, to get away from the world, and perhaps to get away from sin. And when they shut themselves up in the monasteries, and they shut themselves up in the cell, what did they find? The sin was already there. They brought it in with them. You see, sin is in the heart. Sin was in the heart. And you'll find, you can read about Luther and those men that got whips and they scourged their bodies and all at night. Oh, wretched man, they were beating their body. They were trying to get rid of this evil that was in them. They're looking for a hiding place. There's a great need of a hiding place from the conduct of sin of our lives. What about relation to their conscience? Many people today have a guilty conscience about sin they've committed. And some are very troubled about it. And people can hide it, by the way. They can hide it. They can hide that secret sin in their heart away in the closet. There's a skeleton. And they're glad it's locked up. And they're glad that people don't know. And they're glad perhaps their parents don't know. Their neighbors doesn't know. Family members doesn't know. It's locked up, but God knows. And they know. And why is this in their conscience? It's burning in them. It's burning in them. R.A. Torrey told a story about a woman who came to speak to him. He was a great gospel preacher. And she came to speak to him, and he says, well, what would you like to tell me? And she opened her mouth to tell what she wanted to say, and she couldn't speak. And so he looked again at her, and he says, well, what do you want to tell me? And she tried to go again, she couldn't go. And then he says to her the third time, what do you want to speak to me about? What is the trouble? And then she opened up her lips, and she told him. She said, I killed a man. She said, it was 14 years ago across the Atlantic Ocean. I was out there in the darkness of a forest with him, and I drove a knife into his neck, and I ran away. And everybody said he committed suicide. And the man was buried. But he didn't commit suicide at all. She had killed him. She could hardly live for herself. A guilty conscience. It was burning in her heart, burning in her mind. As someone has said, a guilty conscience is a hell on earth and points to one beyond. She was full of guilt, and her conscience was full of guilt. She needs a hiding place. And maybe tonight in this meeting, you're trying to get away from sin, sinful habits. Said, no, I'd love to get away from it. I'd love to break free from these sinful habits. I have a guilty conscience even in my heart tonight, in my mind tonight. I'm troubled. I can't sleep at night. You need a hiding place. You need somewhere to hide. And there are people who hide their sin, but you need somewhere where you can hide. In relation to the condemnation of their sin, you need a hiding place. That's what we say here in this text tonight. It talks about the wind. It talks about the storm. The storm. The tempest. There's a wind blowing. There's a storm coming. You need somewhere to hide. You need somewhere to be safe. You need a hiding place. This is what the text is saying. And this is what the prophet Isaiah is preaching about. There's a storm. You need a hiding place from the condemnation of sin. And we've got to be honest with the word of a living God. We've got to speak about the day of God's wrath. I know there's room, and we are to preach how great, how mighty, how strong, how patient, how loving is our God. Yes. But there's a God coming. His wrath is coming to judge the world. Do you remember that great preacher, John the Baptist? Remember, it says in Matthew 3 and verse 7, he's looking around him and he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those old religious rulers. There they were, and they were all gathering around listening to this man. And here's what he said to them. He says, "Oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And that was some message for them. They had religion right up to the neck. But when he looked at them, he saw not religion. He saw the rebellion. He saw their sin. He saw the wrath of God coming. And he says, "Who has warned you to flee? But from the wrath to come." There's a day coming. Do you know what it is? The wrath of God. When God will come and Christ will come upon this world to judge the world and righteous, and his wrath to fall upon those who are not saved. You can read something of that over in Revelation 6, and it talks about the opening of the sixth seal, about how the stars fell upon the earth, and even as a fig tree, and the heavens departed as a scroll. It talks about the kings of the earth, and all the great men, and chief men, and mighty men, and bond men. And here's what they did. They hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and they say to the rocks, "Fall on us." Here's why. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. There, the last book of the Bible tells us about this awful day of the wrath of God. And here's these mighty men. Here's these kings. Here they are, and they're hiding in the caves, and they're crying to the rocks, and they're saying to the rocks, hide us from the wrath of him that cometh from God and from the wrath of the Lamb. See, there's a day of wrath coming. There's a day of judgment. The Bible is very clear that there is a hell for those who come before God in their sins, or who die in their sins. In Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And that's the teaching of the Bible, black and white preaching from the word of the living God. If you follow a life of sin, if you live a life of sin, if you don't repent from your sin, if you don't trust Christ trust Christ to save you from your sin, then here's what will happen. You'll face the wrath of the Lamb. You need a hiding place. You need a hiding place. We do not know when the heavens will open and Christ shall come back. Coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance, the Bible says, on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And fire will fall from heaven upon those who's without Christ. You need a hiding place. That's a fearful day. It's a day that we find that is taught in the word of the living God. Peter talked about how the elements of the earth and heaven shall be melted with fervent heat. So what do we find here tonight? It's very, very simple. You need a hiding place. And unsaved tonight, you're in great trouble. You're in great trouble because of your sin. Remember, we sing that hymn, "O sinner, how thy heart is troubled." Are you troubled tonight about your sin? Do you feel it in your heart and your conscience? I'm not right with God. And if I die, I'm lost. Well, if you do, I'm glad you're thinking that way. There are people tonight don't believe such preaching, don't believe such lessons that's found and taught in the word of the living God. I'm glad the Lord is showing you these things tonight. You're in danger. You're in trouble. You're under his condemnation. You have sinned against him, and you'll lose your soul for all eternity. You need a hiding place. You need somewhere to hide. Remember there in Genesis chapter 8, Genesis 3, verse 8, it says about Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of a day, and Adam and his wife, what, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Man, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord in the trees. But they knew they were in trouble. So they hide themselves. And you need a place to hide yourself. They could not hide themselves among the trees. They could not. It was foolishness. You cannot hide from God, but you need a place to where you can hide and be saved from his wrath that is to come upon the world. The necessity of a hiding place. Can I say secondly here, the identity of a hiding place? And listen to what the prophet Isaiah said here. He says in our text, in verse 2, and a man shall be as an hiding place. Now, it can mean this. That man shall be a hiding place. It's speaking about a certain man. And here's what he's saying. That man. That man shall be a hiding place. What man? Think about this man that is sovereign, because you cannot divorce verse 1 and verse 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. There's a link, a king. We talk here about the sovereignty of this man. This is no ordinary man. Here is a unique person. Here's the Son of God. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and the Lord of the earth. And it tells us here, he says, that man. Jesus Christ is the hiding place. He's the one. And you remember when we come to the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he's so high and king, he stooped so low to come into this world to be our Savior. And remember there on the cross, the old centurion said in Mark 15, verse 39, he says, truly this man was the Son of God. Do you see him? He's died, he's given up the ghost, but he hears a man preaching at the cross. Here's a man making a confession about Jesus Christ. This man was the Son of God. But this is a man where is the hiding place. The Son of God, a sovereign one. This man is spotless. There's a great difference to Lord Jesus than all of us that ever lived in this world. Here's the difference. And there are many, of course, but here's one. He never sinned. He never sinned. He never broke the law in word or thought and deed. There was no sin in Christ. And Pilate, it tells us in Luke 23, verse 4, when Pilate was examining him, he says, listen, and he's saying out to the crowd, I find no fault in this man, or to the chief priest, he's saying to them. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, John says, in him, now, in him, this man who's a hiding place, there's no sin in him. Remember 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 said of Christ, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Peter said he did no sin, and that it was a guile found in his mouth. But here's the great thing about this man. He's spotless. It talks here about righteousness, his purity, his holiness. And he's preaching about a refuge. He's preaching here, Isaiah, about a hiding place. And he says, this man here, he's a hiding place. He's spotless. He's never sinned. You and I have sinned. But not this man. This man's a hiding place. And you can follow that right through the New Testament. Think about Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Here we find this man, the hiding place. What does he tell us here? That he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He died upon the cross for sins. This man. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of the Bible. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, for Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God. Notice Peter's preaching it. The Lord Jesus talks about this death over in John chapter 10. I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to offer myself as a sacrifice to save sinners. It's found and taught throughout the Word of God. You see, this man suffered. He's a hiding place. This man died for sinners. He made one sacrifice for sin forever. And we sing that lovely song, and I love singing it, how deep the Father's love for us. I think of the verse, and I know it says this, behold the man upon a cross, my guilt upon his shoulders, ashamed. I hear my mocking voice call out upon the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished, but he's talking, behold, a man upon the cross, and my guilt, not his, my guilt upon his shoulders. It was my sin that was laid upon him. You see, this is the identity of the hiding place. It's this man. And the prophet Isaiah, on over in chapter 53, verse 6, says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid, listen, on him the iniquity of us all. And that's identity for hiding place. He is the one who suffered. He is the one who saves. Isaiah himself, this mighty prophet of God, said in Isaiah 63, verse 1, that he's mighty to save. There's not a want, there's not a need, but we find Jesus enough for it. He's mighty. He can save to the very uttermost. And so I see here tonight this refuge, this hiding place. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the identity of the hiding place. But Charles Wesley wrote that great hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And in that particular hymn, he says, other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Not wonderful. No other refuge. But my soul, it hangs on thee. So I want to say tonight to you in this meeting, here's the identity of this hiding place, this man. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 114, thou art my hiding place. Not tremendous words. Lord, thou art my hiding place. I'm not hiding in a church tonight. I'm not hiding in my own self-righteousness tonight, Lord. No, thou art my hiding place. I ask you tonight, is Christ your hiding place? He's the Savior of the world. That's the identity of this hiding place. There's no other Savior. There's no other place of safety, as we'll see in our last point. There's no other place. A man shall be a hiding place. Jesus Christ. And he can save you tonight and cleanse you from sin and give you everlasting life if you're unconverted in this meeting tonight. So we have here the identity of the hiding place. It's Christ and Christ alone. And this mighty, mighty prophet here, he's preaching Christ. He's pointing people to Christ. Remember, it was John the Baptist pointed to Christ, and he said, behold, have a look at him. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's pointing people to the refuge. He's pointing people and sinners to the hiding place is Christ. So the identity tonight of the hiding place is Christ, and you need him tonight. Think about the locality of the hiding place. Now, there's a few wee places. It's a dangerous place. This hiding place, because it talks about wind and it talked about storms. And so we're maybe not so bad. We maybe grumble about wet weather and so on. But in some countries, there's terrible upheaval, there's terrible hurricanes and storms. And a lot of people across the world, excuse me, they lose their life. And it is estimated last year in 2023, it was the highest record since 2010, that 95,000, about 500 people, there were fatalities because of natural disasters and storms. The world's a dangerous place to live, but there is a refuge, there's a hiding place. You could be cut off in a moment. Any one of us could be cut off in a moment. Dangerous place. And a dry place, you can see that on down there, it says waters in verse 2, a dry place. Now, there's no water, and it's dry, and no doubt it is difficult. And many perish because of thirst and so on. Many people will perish in their sins. They will perish. This world will not satisfy. We know that tonight. We sing it none, but Christ can satisfy, and there's no other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in me, in thee. And so we know that tonight. This world is a dry place. The world will never, and sin will never satisfy you. But there is a hiding place. And maybe you have tried the things of the world, and you've said, you know, there's no satisfaction. I've no peace. I've no joy. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. I'm cast down tonight. I've tried the broken cisterns, but the waters fail. But there is a hiding place. There's a Savior here tonight. A dreary place, talks there at the end of that verse 2, about a weary land. You know, the Bible says about the wicked are like the troubled sea which cannot rest, as waters cast up mire and dirt. No rest, a restlessness. And there are people tonight, they're restless. They're driven with the devil. They're running after sin. They're held by Satan and sin. And there's a weary place. It's a dreary place, this whole world, you see. What do they need? They need a refuge. They need a place where they can hide. They can be saved from this whole world and from sin and from the devil. And I'm glad tonight, the locality of this place, it's in the world tonight. We live in a dangerous place. We live in a dry place tonight. We live in a dreary place. This old world certainly will not make you happy. No, none but Christ can do that. But there's a hiding place for you in the world. For sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is near. He is near us here tonight in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad of that tonight. Why we come and move around preaching the gospel. There is a Savior. And his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the locality of this hiding place. And then, Kerry Duff, there's a Savior been offered to people tonight. And other places too. I'm sure there are people preaching the gospel tonight about Jesus only. And you're unsaved tonight in this meeting. You don't have to go on in your sin. You don't have to be lost in your sin. You don't have to be punished for your sin tonight. No, there is a hiding place for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that refuge. Can I say lastly here about the security of the hiding place? It says that the man shall be a hiding place. You know, there's a wonderful full salvation in those who come to Christ. There's cleansing from sin. Remember, it says in 1 John 1, verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all. From all sin. Not half our sin. Not some of our sin. No. From all. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's security tonight. You can know all your sins are washed away. They're all forgiven. If you come to Jesus Christ tonight, he's the hiding place. He'll take away all your sin. Oh, there's peace with God in this hiding place. Remember Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people tonight, as I said, they're like driven like a sea, up and down the waves of the sea in their life. They cannot rest. They have no peace in their mind or in their heart. They need peace. I'm glad tonight there's peace in this resting place, in this hiding place, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's safety in this hiding place. The wrath of God will never touch you. Why? Because it fell on Christ. It fell on him. The innocent sacrifice, our substitute, our Savior went to the cross. He endured the wrath of God for those who will trust him. And if so, his wrath will never, never fall upon those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And when you are saved, you're in Christ, and you'll never be judged. And I want to say this, you'll never be in hell. You'll never be in hell. I'm glad I rejoice in my salvation. I deserve to be in the hell. I deserve to. Should have been out long ago. But you know, I'm hiding in the Lord Jesus. And I have salvation from hell. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior and there's no other refuge. You know, tonight some people are hiding in churches. Some people are hiding in church. Maybe some are hiding in this church. Some are maybe hiding in Christian families. And he said, no, well, I know I'm not right. I know I'm sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm not saved. But I'm hiding. I'm hiding in my family. Some are hiding in their works or deeds. Some are hiding in their prayers or their self-righteousness. Some are hiding in other so-called religions or so-called faith. They're hiding. The Muslims are hiding tonight. They're hiding in the words of the Quran or Muhammad. They're hiding. That's where they're hiding in place. But they'll all fail. All other places fail. All other religions fail. I want to say that tonight. We're not saying that boastfully. We're saying it confidently on the authority of the word of the living God. They all fail, but Christ will not fail. He's our hiding place. He's our Savior. And you need to repent from your sin and you need to come to Him. And trust Him with all of your heart. And He will take away all your sin and give you everlasting life. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. Alone I would perish, undone would I be. I bless rock of ages, I'm hiding in Thee, hiding in Thee, hiding in Thee. I bless rock of ages, I'm hiding in Thee. Indeed, Lord, you're there tonight. He's my hiding place. I'm glad I'm there. Are you glad tonight, child of God? That's where you are tonight. We can rejoice in our great Savior, Lord Jesus. But we want you, if you're unconverted tonight, to come to Christ and to trust Him with all of your heart. And He will take away your sin and He will give you everlasting life. You need to be in this place. You need to be in this refuge before you die, before you come before God. The door is opened. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am a door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says, come unto me, all ye labor, and have ye laden, and I'll give you rest. So He's calling you to come. And come to Him tonight. And we're saying from the pulpit and preaching the word of God, come to Jesus. Come just the way you are. Come and trust Him. And be saved and go home this night knowing that you're hiding in Christ and you're saved. And you've everlasting life. If I can help you, speak with me after the meeting. We'd love to speak with you. Call upon the Lord where you sit. And you just ask the Lord to be your Savior. Really repent from your sin. But if you need to speak, you want to know some more things, well, we're here. We're here to help people. And we pray you'll not go home without the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad the Lord is our hiding place.